In the providence of God, we are at this point in time in Ephesians 6, 18 to 20. It was not calculated. It was not done on purpose again. But it is the end of the month. And we're going to read a passage that talks about prayer. And it happens. It happened in the providence of the Lord that it is in line with our prayer meeting today. So let's open up the book of Ephesians. And I'll pick it up again from verse 13 up to verse 20. And we'll be looking at verses 18 to 20 today, praying. What does it mean to pray? Pray at all times, pray in the Spirit. Hear now God's word. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We don't deserve to come before you. We're not worthy to come before you. Just to stand by ourselves, apart from the mediation of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. We confess our sins to you, Lord. We pray repentantly and trustingly in the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking your grace, for we fall short of your glory. And apart from your grace, in Christ Jesus, we cannot stand. Help us to stand. And speak to us, Lord, now. For unless words are given to us, for unless we look intently in your word, for unless your Spirit pierces our hearts and instructs and teaches and convicts and upholds and encourages and strengthens, we cannot stand. Oh Lord, that we would love you more and praise you more through Jesus Christ, our worthy Lord and Savior. Amen. It's hay fever season, you can tell, can't you? You don't pray enough, do you? You don't pray as you ought to, do you? You don't come to our mega once a month prayer meetings, do you? You see, we can easily use the topic of prayer in all sorts of ways to make people feel guilty, and we'll miss the point. But this is not what I'm going to do today. exactly the opposite. Success is not about getting more people to our prayer meeting today through guilt. Success for us is to love Jesus more and to be drawn to Him. Our hearts don't change through guilt, but through grace. God's grace. So let's look at our text carefully and see prayer and think about prayer as it ought to be thought about positively and excitingly. Prayer is not just a topic, prayer is talking to God. It is crying out to the Lord, praising Him, petitioning Him, making requests to Him, placing our weaknesses, our needs, our joys, our sorrows before Him. Prayer to the Lord is vitality. It is communicating. It is communing with Him. So pray, church. Pray to our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are in Him, pray, because prayer is like breathing. So here we are, Paul the Apostle is writing to the congregation. He addresses the church. He addresses churches. And of course, what he says about prayer is relevant to individuals and to families. But pay attention, don't miss it. It is the church that he addresses and exhorts to pray. And so Paul emphasizes here prayer alongside spiritual warfare. Because prayer is part of it. Prayer is not just the liquid you put on the armor to just polish it. Prayer covers us and supports us in the midst of wrestling, in the midst of fighting, in the midst of standing against evil cosmic powers. It activates the armor, so to speak. All of our lives, our warfare, our witness is in the context of a constant communication and reliance upon our commander-in-chief, our Lord and God. Imagine an army without communication. Imagine a soldier cut off, aimlessly wandering, love to communicate with God. Prayer is worship, and true worship is in spirit and in truth. It cannot be forced upon. It cannot be imposed upon. The Puritan minister of old, John Bunyan, remarked, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God. In a similar vein, the reformer John Calvin said, it is therefore by the benefit of prayer that we reach those riches which are laid up for us with the Heavenly Father. So true it is that we dig up by prayer the treasures that were pointed out by the Lord's gospel and which faith has gazed upon. With all that said, this is where we're going to go today. First, we will see how believers are encouraged to pray at all times in the Spirit. Pray at all times in the Spirit. Second, we will see how believers are encouraged to be alert and persevere at all times in praying for all the saints. Be alert and persevere in praying for all the saints. And third and final, we'll see how believers are to pray particularly for the powerful proclamation of the gospel. Pray at all times in the Spirit. I have read a number of stories, and I've heard some stories about monks praying for hours, for days, for weeks, and even for months. It is said that Simeon, someone called Simeon the Stylite, Stylos means a platform of some sort in Greek. So Simeon the Stylite sought to escape from the worldly distractions of his monastery. Can you imagine? He sought to escape from the worldly distractions, he thought, of his monastery. So he climbed to the top of a large stone pillar where it is said that he remained there for 36 years. So people were bringing food to him and all the rest. Excuse me. And he spent his days fasting, praying, and meditating. Benedict of Nursia left Rome as a young man, seeking to escape the indulgences and corruption of the city of Rome. And he found a cave, and he lived there in isolation for 3 years, sustained by food given to him by a local monk. Another monk, John, near Kiev, seeking to master his body and mind and resist temptations, he found a small cave. You know, people like caves. He found a small cave and buried, it is said that he buried himself up to his shoulders, spending time in continual prayer. Yet again, someone else from Romania this time spent 20 years in solitude. He devoted his time in reading the scriptures, fasting, performing thousands of prostrations in prayer until he bled, all in pursuit of inner peace and stillness. Is this what we have to do? Is this what Paul is saying here? Well, I'll give you a quick answer. No. No. And consider this. Paul was speaking to a church in a city, in the city of Ephesus, not in isolation from the world. So what does it mean to pray at all times? Praying at all times means that we are in constant communication with our Father. Prayer is our basic posture or disposition. We self-consciously think about God and talk to God all the time, don't you? You wake up in the morning, you think about the Lord. During the day, of course, you think about the Lord. You utter things to him. You're about to sleep at night and you think about the Lord. We don't forget about God. Now, by this, I don't mean, of course, that you look at your watch, you know, and all this electronic stuff, you know, today with all these types of watches and you set alarms and you speak to them and all the rest. And every minute they remind you, you have to pray to God now. You have to pray to God now. And you say, oh, 1 minute has passed. Let me just say some words to God now because, you know, I have to pray all the time. This is not what Paul means. What do you do when temptations arise? You pray to God. When difficulties come your way, you pray to God. During times of failure, you communicate with God. Or success, you thank God. Or when God protects you from a challenging, from a dangerous situation, you pray to God. To pray at all times, as the late pastor John MacArthur rightly said, is to, quote, live in continual God consciousness, where everything we see and experience becomes a kind of prayer. Lived in deep awareness of and surrender to our Heavenly Father. In other words, our lives become a continually ascending prayer, a perpetual communing with our Heavenly Father. To pray at all times is to constantly set our minds on things above, not on things that are on earth. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. Paul himself told the Ephesians that he had not stopped giving thanks to God for them, remembering them in his prayers, Ephesians 1:16. To the Colossians, he said, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, Colossians 1:9. To young Timothy, he said, I constantly remember you in my prayers, 2 Timothy 1:3. To the Roman church, to Philemon, to the Thessalonians, that he prayed for them earnestly and regularly, 1 Thessalonians 3:10, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, to pray at all times presupposes a pattern and a regularity in times of prayer. That's the second thing. Who do you know from the scriptures that didn't pray regularly? Abraham prayed, Isaac prayed, Moses prayed, Daniel prayed, Samuel prayed, Ezra prayed, King David prayed, Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other prophets prayed, the Lord himself prayed, the apostles prayed, the early church prayed. We're told in the book of Acts in chapter 2, 34, that the early Christians, they gathered together. They sat under the apostolic preaching. They devoted themselves to praying together. And we see a pattern and a posture of prayer in the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself, even at times, praying all night. Matthew 14:23, Mark 6:46, and John 6:15. Actually, Mark 1:35 tells us that Jesus got up early in the morning while it was still dark and went out to a solitary place to pray. Luke 5:16 even tells us that Jesus frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. In Acts 10:9, we hear that the Apostle Peter went up to the rooftop to pray. Now, lest we misunderstand, the important aspect here is neither the location nor time. It is the regularity and the opportunity to pray without beeps and this and that and the other. Pray without interruptions. Pray and actually pray. Pray and not think about what the message on Facebook from your friend or TikTok or WhatsApp or whatever else is out there. Do we have a quiet place and a time of prayer? Do we have regularity in prayer? We must prioritize regular activities, friends, that actually promote spiritual health and affection for God, such as the discipline of prayer. Sarah Edwards, the wife of Jonathan Edwards, the great Puritan theologian, the mother of 11 children, made time to pray. It is said that she went in a corner by herself and covered herself so that her children would know that mom is praying. Give her a little bit of quiet, respect that, see that, be taught about that. Mom is praying. And among other things, in her lineage, over 200 to 300 years, her descendants included 100 missionaries, trustees of missions, college presidents, mayors and governors, a vice president of the U.S., physicians, deans, judges, lawyers, and many more. This mother's prayers transcended her inner circle. The Bible tells us to pray, communicate with God, speak to God. So the point here is, do you speak? Do you pray with regularity? Pray to our God, our Father in heaven. Pray while sitting or standing, while driving or walking or working or changing nappies or anything else. Pray inside. Pray loudly. Pray in a whisper. Pray with your eyes open. Pray with your eyes closed. Pray. Speak to God. Petition God. Praise God. Ask of God. Request. Plead. Call upon. Besiege. Pray. Pray at all times, says Paul. Pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Does this mean to pray in tongues? As some say, pray in the Spirit. Is this what it means? Paul tells all the saints to pray in the Spirit. All the saints. So straight away, no, that's not what it means. It's for all the saints. Paul had already clarified in 1 Corinthians 12 that back then the gift of tongues was for some anyway. Gift of tongues, gift of languages. Was for some, not for all. Now he's telling, pray, all of you saints, pray in the Spirit. So it's not that, of course, it's just pretty straightforward. Romans 8, 26, 27. Just before Romans 8, 28, which we know about election and predestination and about glorification, just before that, Paul expands on the role of the Spirit in prayer. He says this, likewise, the Spirit, this is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Christians, in other words, pray by means of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us here on earth. He is the Spirit of Christ. He has been sent by Christ. He is the comforter. He is the helper. He is the advocate. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. He teaches us to pray. He prays for us with intercessions as we pray, for we don't know how to pray many times. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for our weaknesses are many. Who do you think holds us? The Spirit of the Lord knows our deepest needs. He indwells us. He knows what is best for us. Things that we don't even recognize many times. And the Spirit intercedes with unspoken groanings. Have you realized that the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, loves us immensely? He loves us immensely. He yearns for us, for the day when we will be delivered from every trace of sin and transformed and be glorified like the Lord Jesus Christ, or he works in us to sanctify us progressively, and on that day when we see Jesus Christ to glorify us forever in complete happiness, perfection, holiness, joy. The Spirit loves us immensely and yearns for us for the day. So pray. Pray by means of the Spirit. Or as John in 4:23 puts it, pray in spirit and in truth, quoting the words of Jesus. To pray in the Spirit, therefore, is to pray by means and in concert with the Spirit. Pray in accordance with God's word. You can't pray contrary to God's word and think that you're praying in the Spirit. Just do whatever you want. Jump up and down. Roll on the floor. Bury yourself up to the shoulders. If you pray contrary to the word of God, you're not praying in the Spirit. The Spirit will teach us. And if you're praying not in accordance with the Spirit of God, and you belong to God, then the Spirit of God will correct us. But also it means that we don't pray mechanically, not impersonally, not with cold prayers, but with biblical earnestness. And oh, how much all of us need that. Because how many times we have sung and prayed in a cold way, without proper affections. We don't see as we ought to. So pray, pray in the Spirit, pray in humble dependence, in conformity to His goodwill, and grasp upon His grace and kindness and goodness and desire to glorify God. Pray with spirit of all love and affection to the Lord. Pray, pray and make supplications to the Lord. Prayer and supplications, as Paul says here. Now, are these two sharply different realities, two different things, prayer and supplications? Well, no, again, that's my third no for today. Supplications are urgent requests or petitions, urgent petitions, petitions addressed to God. Prayer is a more general term. So though they're kind of distinguished a bit, we don't have to press the distinction too much and just say, well, I'm praying now. Now I'm giving supplications. There is an interaction there. One is a more general thing, one more urgent requests or petitions addressed to God. But the important thing here is to pray to God. Keep alert, Paul says, with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. Be watchful, attentive, aware, vigilant. Remain alert. Think of a soldier standing on guard. Should this soldier fall asleep, especially when there's a battle around raging? Jesus, in Mark 13, 33, said this. And he used the same word. Persevere. Be on guard. Keep awake. Keep awake. For you do not know when the time will come. The point is here, be watchful. Be alert. And you cannot be watchful without prayer. The practice of watchfulness is not an introspective practice. You know, cross your legs and focus on prayer, focus on self. It is not navel gazing. It is a gaze of our souls upward, upward to the Lord. It is an anticipation, as we see in Mark 13:33, and as we see here with the perseverance aspect, it's watchfulness. It is an anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Staying alert has an urgency that reinforces the sense of an end times urgency. Do we have to talk about dates and times when it is here in front of us? That urgency, that perseverance, that watchfulness presupposes that. It is a setting of our minds on things that are above, as we said before, and not on things that are on earth. It reorients our priorities and our goals to what is lasting, to what is eternal, to what is most glorious. John Owen, the Puritan minister in the 1600s, urged believers to live in constant contemplation of the glory of Christ, believing that when the mind is filled with thoughts of Christ and His glory, when the soul thereon cleaves unto Him, with intents and affections, they will cast out the causes of spiritual weakness. Now we have seen here that we are to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, Paul says, and with all perseverance. With all perseverance. Paul knows well that there are so many distractions in life. So many trials, so many hindrances, so many anxieties, so many cares that tempt us all the time to stop or to change course. And he tells us, pray with all perseverance, have a holy persistence. Be patient, continue standing, keep on going, move towards prayer. Through difficulties, persevere. Through disappointments, persevere. Through obstacles, persevere. Show your unwavering trust in God, who is more than able. Jesus said this. Jesus told us to pray always and not lose heart. Why did he say that? Because we lose heart. I lose heart. Do you? Pray always and not lose heart. And he went on to say, will God not give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? Again, that eschatological, that end times thing. Will God delay? No. No, God is attentive to our prayers. His Spirit loves us. His Spirit yearns for us. His Spirit indwells us. His Spirit helps us to pray. His Spirit intercedes for us here on earth. Jesus intercedes for us at the right hand of the Father. He's our mediator. God tells us, actually, that our prayers are so valuable. The prayers of his children are like incense, pleasing incense that goes up before him. It is stored. But wait, it doesn't end there. There is another all in verse 18. We are to pray always in the Spirit. We are to pray with all prayer and supplication and perseverance. And now he says, for all the saints. You see how prayer transcends our individual needs? Remember Sarah Edwards? Prayer transcends our individual needs. It goes beyond just you or me and our families. Prayer reaches out to the welfare of others. Prayer has a church aspect. It also has a communal aspect. Consider how in the middle of his letter to the church of Ephesians, here, in this letter, in chapter 3, bang in the middle, Paul prayed that believers would have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you, he says, you is second person plural, may be filled with all the fullness of God, Ephesians 3:18. Pray, church. Gather together and pray with all and for all the saints. Pray for all the saints, transcend just you and me and our families and our close friends. Pray for all the saints, not just the people in our comfort zone, the people who love us the most and the people who don't annoy us. Pray for those who annoy you even. Pray for those that have done something to you, that have said the wrong thing. Pray for them. Pray for all the saints. It is a cure for selfishness and self-centeredness. Now, the context is Ephesus, right? What was going on in Ephesus? There was Jews and Gentiles. There was much mix there, much temptation for disunity. If anyone should not be united, it was Jews and Gentiles. And Paul has spoken about unity and how Christ has broken the barrier and has brought us together. And if we are one church. Now imagine a Jew praying for a Gentile and a Gentile converted Christian praying for a Jew Christian, because we're all Christians. How about a master praying for his slaves? A master back then praying for those slaves? Yes. And how about slaves praying for their masters? How about that? How about an ex-thief in Ephesus praying for the welfare of others now? Not trying to steal, but praying for their welfare. How about, you know, in Ephesus, there was lots of immorality, of course. There was the temple of Artemis, one of the wonders of the world. How about now an ex-immoral? Perhaps an ex-temple prostitute. Praying and caring, and instead of using and being used by others, now praying and being prayed for and cared for by all the saints. How about young praying for the old and old praying for the young? This is what the gospel does. This is what the gospel of the Lord Jesus does. Christians, church, we are together, fighting under one banner of the cross, having one Lord Jesus Christ. So corporate prayer is important. Oh, how we should strive to pray together as a church more often. How we should strive and go to the pastors and say, we should pray more. Not because we're forced or manipulated or there's guilt piled upon us. Nah, none of this stuff. We should pray for a gospel-driven community that is irresistible. We should lift up the people we know. We should pray for those that we don't know, but we wish to know and desire to know and connect with. Now, if you have young kids or teenagers, understand. Understand there are many challenges and difficulties that we face. What do you think happened back then in the early church? Well, with fear and trembling, let me say this. Bring them along. Bring them along and show them the joy of praying together in the Spirit with all perseverance and supplication and for all the saints. Share with them what you love the most, the best lesson that you can teach them comes from you, from being part of a healthy church, first of all and foremost, and for praying together and loving God and showing together and caring for one another together and reaching out to a world that is perishing and in need. How so? How so? Final point. Look at the example of Paul. Look at what Paul says as we come to our final point. Verses 19 and 20. The old apostle says, pray for me. Pray for me. But Paul, you are an apostle. How about the signs and wonders, the signs of the apostles? The Lord has given you all this. Yes, but not for me, for the sake of the gospel. Pray for the powerful proclamation of the gospel. What was the main concern of the old apostle, of a suffering apostle, of a suffering man in chains? What was it? I would have probably prayed something about me just straight away. Like, I don't know, the sores, Lord, the shackles, Lord, the pain, Lord, the dirty prison, Lord, the isolation, Lord, the bad food, Lord, the diseases, Lord. Paul asked for prayer. That words may be given to him to proclaim and make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm puzzled once again. What do you mean, Paul, that words may be given to you? The words may be given to me. What do you mean? You have the equivalent of two PhDs. You are capable. You are an apostle. You have the gift that the Lord has given you. You can talk. You've seen so much, and the Lord has used you so much for so many years. You have the gift, and you're asking for prayer that words may be given to you. And this is a passive verb here that Paul uses, to be given, which means that the proclamation of the gospel is from God and about God, and that Paul was asking for prayer for words to be given, just total reliance upon God, and yet to open his mouth, he said later, to be given, words to be given to me so I can open my mouth and proclaim. Prayer is needed because knowing the gospel is not enough. Being eloquent or gifted or skilled is not enough. We need the unction of the Spirit. What we need is the Spirit of the Lord to do the work, for the Spirit of the Lord to cut through. And we, like Paul, must pray and then trust God and then open our mouths to deliver the gospel. Paul is asking for prayers to speak and proclaim the gospel without hindrance, meaning in freedom. So please pray for me, says Paul, the old apostle. Prayer is needed so that God will grant the apostle boldness to proclaim and declare the gospel with power. Look at the book of Acts. Throughout the book of Acts, read the letters of Paul. And what you see there is boldness. You see a courage to speak the truth in love, even in adversity, even when death was staring at Paul. Paul needed prayer. You and I need prayer. Why? Verse 12 should tell us. Verse 12. Why did Paul say, "For we did not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Satan hates you. He hates me. He hates all humans, for that matter. Hates. We're in a spiritual battle. We are safe in the Lord. If we belong to him, we're called to stand on the victory that Christ has won. Don't fear. Stand. Put on the armor. Take it up. Pray. Demons can provoke governments. They can incite authorities. Well, we'll see it throughout the book of Acts. Actually, probably see it today. Delete it probably. We'll see it today. They provoke and incite those in power to oppose the proclamation of the gospel, to persecute the church. Don't we see this happening in our world today? There is something sinister. There's evil, there's darkness, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It stands. Satan is not on holidays. Demons don't take an absence of leave or leave of absence, whatever, you know. If Paul asked the church to pray, don't you think also that you and I need prayer, that pastors need prayer? Pray for your pastors to speak well, to live well for God's glory, to speak the words of the Lord by the power of the Spirit with boldness and proclamation of the gospel. Now, final thing. Have you ever seen an ambassador or been around an ambassador? They're hard to, you know. You don't just see them every day, of course, you know. They're those kind of special people, right? You don't just run, oh yeah, I was just having coffee with an ambassador today, you know, of the United States of America, of, you know, of England or France or whatever country you like, Australia. Of course, we love Australia. But an ambassador of Australia wouldn't be in Australia, right? You know what I mean? He'd be somewhere else. So it's more likely that you run across an ambassador from another country in Australia. Unless you go to other countries, of course. But an ambassador, you get the point, serves as an official representative of someone. Ambassadors are honored, celebrated, respected, receive accolades, invited to special events with special food, with special people. They wield significant power and are influential. And here we have the Apostle Paul, an ambassador in chains for the sake of the gospel. Actually, he was a steward of God for the gospel. It says in Ephesians 3:1, for the sake of the Gentiles. Us. In chains for the sake of the gospel. For us. If you don't know the gospel, if you're not a Christian, the apostle was in chains so that the gospel would reach to you, to me today, so that you and I can hear the gospel and believe it. Don't take it for granted. Thank God. Believe. Trust. Paul was shamed in this world. He was considered a fool in this world. He became a spectacle. He was reviled, beaten, and imprisoned. He became like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things for the sake of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 4. And his chains were not a shame, but an honor for the sake of the gospel. So he asked for prayer. That's what he asked for. Even the Apostle Paul needed prayer so that he wouldn't shrink back after suffering and suffering and suffering. How much can one suffer? How long? We all need God's help. So, Saints of Redemption Church, would you pray for all the saints, for the furtherance of the gospel? Would you stand against the evil one and pray that we would not shrink back as a church, but pray that we would not have confidence upon ourselves or any other humans or anything else, but upon the Lord, so pray. That we would get wisdom from above, so pray. That we be gracious and truthful, so pray for the sake of the gospel, for the salvation of sinners, for the strengthening of the church, for the glory of the Lord, so pray. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us, says Paul. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So pray. Lord, teach us to pray. That your Spirit will help us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray. That this, your Spirit will help us in our infirmities and strengthen us. That your Spirit will produce godly affections in us, point us to Christ, as your word says. Would you grant us what your word tells us and give us the power to do it and stand and glorify you, our God, and your Son in the power of the Spirit. And may your grace and peace in Christ Jesus, our mediator, be upon us. Amen.